As in the words of the late Paul Harvey, you have just heard the rest of the story. But let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning when Jesus saw the multitudes, Matthew 5. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, now that was culture then, whereas today we would stand in a pulpit or behind a podium, when the teacher in biblical time would set, that was the time to begin. His disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying. And then you and I see from there what we would call nature's amphitheater. Jesus will bring forth what we have called the Sermon on the Mount, called by many the greatest message ever preached. And when you and I think of that and its importance, I recall reading once of a mural that was painted depicting the Sermon on the Mount, and it had these words, "Man's ultimate destiny depends not on whether he can learn new lessons or make new discoveries or conquest, but on his acceptance of the lesson taught him close to 2,000 years ago." So true then, and so true today. Jesus tells us his word, and what we've just heard read in our presence, if you will, the invitation of the sermon. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. But whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them not. You have a choice. You have a decision. When we assemble at an occasion such as this, I am mindful of who is present. First of all, I'm mindful of the presence of the Leoni congregation. Now, I have to confess, a lot of you are new faces. Some of you may be Leoniites. Some of you may not. Some of you may be visiting. I'm going to have to learn all over again. I mean, when I see Mark leading singing and then told, that's Jeremy's boy back there. No, that's Jeremy. I'm sorry. And then I see a lot of you people getting white-headed. It concerns me. I know, physician, heal thyself, I know. But I'm thankful to have it, aren't you? But nevertheless, I know there are people here, you are Leoni through and through, and I love seeing you. I may have to rekindle because it's been a number of years. But it's always good to see you and be with you. I was sharing with Garland, my wife and I, the beloved bride, we were worshiping in Page, Arizona, back in February. And after we dismissed that small group of people, he was going through the mail, ripped open an envelope, big, thick envelope, and he was putting out, seek the old paths, way out in Page, Arizona. I looked at him and I said, I know that paper. Matter of fact, I know the one that prints it. Also in a gospel meeting such as this, there are guests from other churches of Christ. And I know that we are entering a time of year, to quote Tony Lawrence, you can go to a gospel meeting every night for 3 months. And that is true. We're blessed with a number of great churches here in the area. And I'm glad you've chosen to come and to support Leoni today. I'm also mindful there are individuals who you may not know a lot about the Church of Christ. And we hope that you'll take this week and learn more about the church that we read of in the New Testament. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about that Monday and Tuesday night. So I hope you'll be able to come back. And I'm also mindful in gospel meetings that a lot of times someone will come who's been away for a while. And when I say away, I'm not talking about somebody that's moved, that's involved in a local work and involved in their congregation of the Church of Christ where they moved to. I'm talking very gently and very carefully, and I don't know whom it might be, but I find this true of somebody who's been away from the church for a long time or for a period of time who thought, I need to get back, and today's a good day to start. You see, we are all at different avenues in our lives. Now, take also, some of us are older, some of us are younger, middle-aged, it all varies, but there's one thing that stands true for everybody that I've just mentioned of every segment. Jesus taught us from the Sermon on the Mount to not only hear, but to do. And he uses that with a beautiful parable just read in our presence that maybe you recognize from vacation Bible school days. Of the wise man building his house upon the rock, and the rains came down and the floods came up and the wise man's house stood firm. To hear those little voices, to see those little hands, to know what happens when the foolish man's house went splat, and the lesson to build our house on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, children understand that. And then we get older, and sometimes we miss that. Today, let's talk about the ones that built. As we're talking about building on the rock, as we're talking about that cleft of the rock where Jesus places us an idea of safety, walking through a cave called Owl Canyon in Arizona, we looked up to see owls perched in their place, a spot that they have sought of safety. We ourselves need to seek out the safety, the cleft of the rock, Jesus Christ. He's the rock of all ages. And as we talked about building on him, the foundation this morning in our Bible class hour, let's consider the parable before us, of the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. I want you to notice, first of all, what they had in common. First of all, they both heard. Because Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine, I will liken him unto a wise man who heard or who built. I'll liken him to who doesn't hear and do. I liken him to a foolish man. They both heard. They both knew what they needed to do. And friends, when you think about hearing, Mark 12:29, hear, O Israel, God's declaration to Peter, James, and John on the mountain of Christ, hear ye him, Matthew 17:5. Sergius Paulus, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God, Acts 13:7. And friends, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now how would the listener have understood this lesson with the phrase, these sayings of mine? In context, he would have understood what he just heard. Sometimes we hear, but we're not listening. Sometimes we hear, and we don't understand, so we try to understand further. When Jesus emphasized in Matthew 15:10, hear and understand. Folks, we need to hear. Both of them heard. Second, both of them built. They saw the need of building. They saw that they needed to build something. And both actually built a house. Now friends, just because they have similar characteristics, we know from the outset that they're not the same. Both cannot be right. Now, intentions are good, but intention never gets the job done. It's important, but it's not there. So now our intention this morning is good that we're together. But the question is, friends, are we wise enough to do what is done? The intention, I want to come to worship. We did that. And a lot of times people intend to do what is right. Well, I know what I need to do, and once I get all this squared away, hon, wait a minute. You're the one that got you in the situation to begin with. And we think we're bright enough to get ourselves out of it. No. If you could get yourself out of it, you wouldn't need the cross of Jesus Christ. And you wouldn't need the resurrected Savior. Have you ever considered that if you will give your soul unto the Lord, and come back to Him, that the things you're trying to overcome, that through His help you can overcome them? You see, folks, intentions are good, but intentions do not get the job done. They'll head us toward the right way, but we know it's the importance of doing. You see, both heard, both built, both saw the need of building. We saw what they had in common, but now let's kind of run them side by side in contrast. I mean, their characters were different. I mean, after all, one was wise and one was foolish. In the context, not only with houses, but in our meaning, but in every aspect of life. One was wise, one was foolish. They were different. And their foundations were different. I want you to, if you want to look at it with me, feel free to, Luke chapter 6, 47 through 49. But if you'd like to listen, this is Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount, here of this parable. And it begins, whosoever comes to me, hears my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat violently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, it's the same parable in Luke's account as in Matthew's. But I love to see the phrase where the wise man digged deep, verse 48. He dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock. He wanted to make certain before he put the first thing on that slab, the first frame or whatever, it was going to withstand. The foolish man, however, built without a foundation. He just placed it, if you will, as we note, upon the sand, built his house upon the earth, built his house upon the sand. He built without a foundation. Now friends, there's not a one of us in this room, starting with me, veering over here past Mark and coming right back around past Garland, back to me, there's not a one of us in this room that would have it built, that would pay for it, or would even go near a house we would live in without a solid foundation and preparation against storms. Now, especially right here in my home section of Middle Tennessee, a lot of you probably have storm shelters. Tornadoes are nasty, and they rise up before you know it. We've seen the damage. We know what it can be. We prepare ourselves. There's not a one of us that would have a house built without making sure it is going to stand. And there's not a one of us in this room, starting with me, going around Mark, swinging back around past Garland to me, there's not a one of us here that should allow our spiritual lives to be different. But alas, some of us do. Now, what makes this amazing is when you see where they were standing, believed to be on a mount overlooking the Sea of Galilee, they could see and were probably standing on the sand. Nature's amphitheater became nature's PowerPoint with Jesus because he used illustration. Building on the sand, they knew it. On the rock, he was seated. They knew the difference between rock and sand, and they could understand this parable, and it doesn't amaze me. Jesus taught where people could understand what he was saying. And here they are, standing there. They knew the difference between rock and sand. He brought forth an illustration that truly brought it home. Now, friends, let's go from intention, and now let's move into application. You see, their application was different because their character was different. You know, I can imagine that the foolish man is thinking he is making good progress as his house is going up. Well, man, what in the world's taking him so long? What is it digging down? Man, he's taking too long. It'd take him forever to get that thing done. I'm going to go ahead and get mine up where I can get in and where I can live, where I can enjoy. But the wise man did exactly what was needed. He heard and he did. Now today, parallel that. Sometimes we want to look at others and see where they are and then yet where we want to be. And we want to move a lot faster. And we don't have the root. We don't have the foundation. And then what happens? Well, let's see what happens to them. Let's stay with this. Now their houses have a confrontation. Not necessarily with each other. But the storm came upon both houses. When you look back at Matthew's account, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. Notice Luke's account, the stream came, which when a stream comes along sand, it'll shift and wash out. When a stream comes along one on a foundation, it's going to go around. It's going to stay firm. A storm came upon both houses. We see the end result for both. The wise man heard and did. He was founded upon a rock. It fell not. The foolish man heard and did not, and great was its fall. And it is. To hear a house fall is a great noise. And folks, there's nothing here I can say. Many of us heard this from childhood. We sang it on the front row. Chances tonight at 4:45. It's going to be sung again. We understand it as a child. We can take that as a teaching point. To teach a child. To teach a child. When a child does wrong. Now, do you remember what you learned about the foolish man? You heard and did not. And we want to punish that child. Maybe we need to punish ourselves spiritually when we hear and we fail to do. This parable is strong. And so when I see what they had in common, when I see the contrast, how they were different, and when I saw the end result, folks, we can see it here. May I move you to a fourth one, and let's talk about commitment. Let's talk about what we can learn from these two builders. Well, from the very outset, folks, simply hear and do the right thing. Now, you and I know you can sit here and listen to this sermon. You can listen to Garland sermons. You can listen to a sermon of anybody. You could hear the sermons of my beloved friend Roger Campbell, who was with you last fall. You can hear sermon after sermon. You could do as my friend Tony Lard said, your friend and mine. You can go everywhere every night, just about in the summertime, and hear a sermon. But dear friends, if we hear and we fail to do, we're going to miss it, and our houses are going to fall, meaning our lives are going to fail. When we look at this, and we stay here in Matthew 7, the invitation to the Sermon on the Mount, you hear, you do the right thing. But back up to verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, well, I know the Lord. I believe it. You ever notice when people go, you know they're up to something? You know they're going to come with an excuse. See, youngins do this. Adults go, I believe in Jesus. Well, hello and duh. The devils believe and tremble, kind of like you're doing right now. oh, well, you know, church is just not my thing. Well, friends, people, give me Jesus, but not the church. All right. Jesus is the head of his church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. So if you say, give me Jesus and not the church, then you want the head and not the body, and it's not going to live. And when you learn of Jesus, you cannot help but to learn of his church. The church that he promised to build, the church that he purchased with his blood, and the church of which you and I must be a part. We'll talk more about that Monday and Tuesday night. Folks, let me tell you the reason people say, give me Jesus, but not the church. They don't want to get up on Sunday morning and they don't want to attend worship. That's why. They got other things they'd rather do. Oh, I love the classic in the past few years. Well, I am going to embark on my spiritual journey. Oh, really? So you as a human are going to embark on your spiritual journey that you're going to choose. I wonder how that's going to go. Friends, everything I've just mentioned to you are houses that fall when storms of life hit. And if you're walking in any of those, or that's what you're building on, that's what's going to happen. You see, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, that enters will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven, simply doing what the Father would have us to do. Let's go to the words of the Lord's brother James in James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, this one, will be blessed in what he does. Friends, the lesson we learn off the bat here, hear and do the right thing. As I mentioned of individuals that come to a gospel meeting is this, if you've been away from the Lord and his church, please do the right thing this morning and come home. Confess your sins. Let's pray with you and pray for you and be restored back to the church and to be saved. If you've had yet to obey the gospel of Christ this morning, when you hear the word of God, you believe it, repent of your sins, confess the name of Christ, be buried with him in baptism. Hear and do the right thing. But here's another lesson to learn. We dig deep and make certain that we are building properly. Let me suggest that we dig deep into the word of God in studies. This will allow us to do so tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, to dig in deep, to see the Lord's church, to become a part of that church, Matthew 16, 13 through 18, to see how we as Christians are to labor and remember the wise man, to hear and understand, and as in light of Ephesians 2, continue to build carefully. And we'll parallel with that 1 Corinthians 3, 8 through 11 as we studied last hour. And friends, know this. Here's a third lesson. That our building will be tested by the storms of life. Just like the physical storm took out that physical house and the physical storm beat against that house built on a solid foundation and it stood, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. We're also reminded from the book of James, chapter 1, of the trials that will come before us. Peter speaks about the trials that our faith faces in 1 and 2 Peter, how we're tried like gold over the fire. And friends, sometimes storms happen in a moment of time, as quick as you and I can imagine. Things can happen. A raging storm of life comes so fast we're not aware of what hit us. And it's during those moments that our foundation needs to be solid. Have you ever known one that when a storm of life hit them, maybe the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, a loss, a pain, a hurt that would drive us to our knees, that sometimes folks would move further away from the Lord and His church when they should have drawn closer? When those storms come, friends, and we're built upon the right foundation, we're prepared because we have light ready available. When darkness comes upon us, we have the light, Jesus Christ, John 8 and verse 12, Romans 13 and verse 12, we have on the armor of light. We can withstand when that storm comes. We can rest safe and we know what to do because the Lord will hear us as we come boldly unto the throne of grace, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. And friends, that storm will pass us by because the Lord is in charge of carrying those storms away. In Psalm 29, verses 10 and 11, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. Then I love verse 11. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Peace that passes all understanding, that will guard or keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 7. You see, when we are tested with those storms of life, friends, how well we are built on the foundation will help us to endure. It could very well be that a storm of life is your challenge at this day. You haven't left the Lord and His church, but you're struggling. You're battling the weakness. You're having a difficult time. I have known many individuals to respond for prayers, not that they committed sin, not that they left the church, but Jeff, I'm struggling and I need the prayers of my brothers and sisters in Christ. So many times we have the tragic mistake of saying, I don't want to be a bother. You're not a bother. You're brethren. You're family. We are not in a place where we throw stones at one another. We help each other up on the rock because a storm is struggling. Someone says, well, I've got something I'm facing, Jeff, but I don't want to tell anybody. Don't want to bother anybody. Folks, let me tell you something. When I've got something challenging me, the more brethren I can get to pray for me, the better off I'm going to be. Hey, you don't have to tell them every detail. You don't have to explain every detail. It's like I tell young preachers. When you're in a hospital visiting a sister in Christ, you will ask her one time, why is she having surgery? And you will never ask again. You don't need to know. You're in the hospital. You're not there to say, oh, bye, how are you doing today? I thought I'd stop by and take a room. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. I'm reminded of the words of my late mama. They call it major surgery and minor surgery. Anytime they put a scalpel on me, it's major. I don't care what they're going to do. Folks, when we need those prayers of one another, we're fellow servants, we're fellow laborers, we're the Lord's church, and we need one another, and we help one another. You have faced some of the most trying challenges in your lives with one another, and you're here. And you keep on keeping on. And you lean on one another. And you know that. You see, when we look here at the Sermon on the Mount, we get to the end and we see where the people were astonished. They were astonished at the words of Jesus, and actually they were spellbound. What He was saying, they were embracing. But friends, we need to make certain that we are not living on shifting sand to where a storm can take us out, and that storm may be tossing us now. Because I think I read it one time, some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand. Some on their fame or their treasures or their lands. But will you and I today be, as the song continues, Can you stand in a few moments and say, mine's on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages. Friend, if you're not firmly on the rock today, you need to come back home to the Lord. As we mentioned, we will pray with you and pray for you. Carry that sin no longer. If you're struggling and the storms of life are tossing you and you need strength and prayers, we stand ready to pray with you and pray for you. If you've had yet to obey the gospel of Christ, you need to get your life on the foundation of Christ by simply, as mentioned earlier, move on your faith, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be buried with Him in baptism this day, and let us stand on the rock of ages, Christ Jesus. Will you resolve to do that this morning? As together we stand and sing, won't you come?